Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again this day, this morning, and thank you for songs that makes us mindful of what we hear and had a purpose. We may grow in our hearts and know what it is that God would have us to do as we try to reach this world for the cause of Christ. And so now, at this time, we come to you asking thee to help us with the message. Lord, we've studied, we've gone through the necessary time to come put this together, and now we need the anointing also to be able to proclaim it. I pray that Jesus would be exalted in these days as we look at our wonderful country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And, of course, take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Keith already hit that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. But we're going to read it again and read it for a purpose. And then we'll go to Psalms 33, and then we'll develop the message from there. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, God said through the writer, "In Solomon, righteous exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." That's a law that comes from the throne of God. Righteous exalts the nation, exalteth the nation, but sin is reproach to any people. He says the king favors is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. I'll assume that verse 35 helps us understand a little bit more about how important verse 34 is. If I understand his wrath is against those that causes shame, I'll assume that those who are unrighteous don't exalt a nation. And I assume that when it comes to the wrath of God, it becomes because of unrighteousness. And I believe also he said, but sin's reproach to any people. And by the way, he wasn't just talking to Israel here either. He wasn't just talking to a certain time in history. He's talking about humanity who forms nations in any time of history. And again, sin is a reproach, as he said, to any people. Now, that is any and every human being who lives in this land, or lives on this continent, I should say. Look with me in Psalms 33 and verse 12, if you will. Now, the psalmist here says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I would automatically put together that if a nation's God is the Lord, then they're going to be walking in righteousness rather than unrighteousness. Would you not eliminate or at least look at that to see how these two verses go together? If I go back again, see, righteous exalteth the nation, then blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And he said, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. As I look at these two verses of Scripture and a few more, I want to compare some things about this great country we're living in today. I believe with all my heart, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Revelation for this last Scripture to be read. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, Look with me in chapter 7, I'm sorry. We'll look at 21 later. Chapter 7, verse 9. This just came to my mind, and that's the reason I want us to look at it. The writer says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." Must be a large crowd, isn't it? And he says, "Of all nations." This is important. Every word here is important. "And kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." In verse 14, he said, "I said unto him," as he went through this conversation, for the sake of time, the angel said, "Sir, knowest thou what? Sir, thou knowest what he said to me? These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." As I look at that verse and look at the verses I just read and talk about America for a few minutes this morning, here in the tribulation period, he says that, again, a number that cannot be, a multitude that could not be numbered of all nations, kindreds, and people and tongues. If that be the case, it comes out of the tribulation period after the saints of God are gone. Can you imagine how increased that number is in the age of grace since Jesus Christ was here? And now God still is trying to win people to himself through this wonderful message. Now, we know that this is leading into the kingdom of God. Those coming on Wednesday night, we've been weeks and weeks studying about this process of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to be made up with all nations, all kinders, all tongues, and all types of people. Now that says to me, if I understand anything in the age of grace, when Jesus Christ came, up to that time, God was dealing with the nation of Israel. And for 4,000 years from back, he dealt with individual people as they obeyed the commandments that he said and the orders that he did, said to give to have atonement for sin. And of course, we know in Genesis chapter 12, he called out Abraham and developed the nation of Israel. And God dealt with the nation of Israel, as and other nations could be blessed as they came into the nation of Israel. But when you come to the New Testament, and that nation which produced the genealogies of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the absolute only begotten Son of God, when he came, it's just not just one nation, but it is that which comes out of all of the nations. That is, saints of God, if you, I don't care what color you are, I don't care where you came from, I don't know how poor you are, I don't care how sick you are, I don't care where you come from, if you are born again child of God, you are brothers and sisters. Now that's Bible. Now we can leave the Bible on too, but that's Bible. But on the other hand, I also realize there's things that happens. And this nation has had its hand of God upon it as much so as Israel had. And I believe that. In the age of grace for the last 2,000 years, God led to the time, I believe, that this nation would come in the late 1400s, in the early 1500s, when it was developed and began to be developed over a period of now a number of years, and even the last 235 years, which is the birth of our nation. There's something about this country that's different than any other nation in the world, including the Roman Empire, that's kind of like Israel was, except our making is in the age of grace. We don't have one genealogy of people where God is dealing with and trying to produce the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ or down to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do have a nation that you look on the face of the earth that meets the criteria. The Bible says here of every kinder, every tongue, every just about anybody you find in this world, you can find living here in this continent, in this nation, somewhere or another. It amazes me. I'm old enough to see right here. We used to think, you know, that you hear Chinatown, hear places that where those towns at when I was a boy coming up. But now, I'm old enough now to realize, hey, I see that movement right here in our own country, right back door. This country is made up of a nation, a variety of people from other nations. Now, it's important because it looks like God is doing something here that we're missing out on. For those of us who were born and live in America, it may be difficult to see how America is a microcosm of this world. Now we are looking at a nation that's a multiracial nation. Those who come to visit our nation see this quickly from other countries more so than we. But now, if you've got an age on it, you're seeing things that our children will not see because they will think it's this way all along. But it has not been. When we look at the history of our nation, America is not only a big nation, it is a beautiful country, all the way from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific, all the way from the Gulf of Mexico to Canada. There are some of the most beautiful spots of this world found right here in our own country. And what an amazing thing of freedom that we can go through, 50 states, and not have to have a passport. Not have to worry. If you go into any state in this nation and obey the rules of that particular state, you won't have to be worrying about being harassed. But if you begin to do something that's in shoddy and begin to go against the frame which has been set up for people to have a fair and a decent life, then you can watch out. The laws will try their best to take care of that situation so people can have decent lives. But we don't have to worry about changing who we are to go from one state to another. We're very fortunate. You know, there's a lot of countries in this world is not as big as some of our states are. Those who come to visit our nation see this quickly. All kinds of races live together here now. You'd have to agree with me in this. It look back. We have black, white, yellow, red, brown, five colors of skin. are living together today, but something has happened. It isn't that God's people from different varieties can't come together, or people can't come together in God. Something has happened to disrupt the harmony that God would have us to have even in this nation as He establishes it for such a multiracial people of our particular day. God wants this world to know about His Son. And His Son will save anyone who will trust Him and come to Him and ask Him to come into their heart. And as we go through this life, we see sin has disrupted our lives. We've learned something about our country that is amazing, because we're not a kingdom. We're a republic trying to operate under democracy. Now, God's kingdom is a kingdom. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and He's going to rule. But we're living in a republic that is trying to work with democracy. That means every leader that's in Washington, no matter who it is, or in local state governors or any government in this country, has most of those, except a few smaller ones, that's been appointed by those in leaders. They were voted into office. Now, God will allow those who operate in this republic with Him in the center to understand what is needed for people to live happy. But on the other hand, He also allows us to run our will in a secular world that's not been born again, and therefore they know nothing but self and flesh and sensuous. I have a message that I'm working on the three S's: sensual, soulish, and spiritual. Most of this country is working on the first two. Very few in high places, no matter how much they talk religiously, very few in high places are talking spiritually. That's Bible spiritually, because they don't know what God's Word even has to say. And so I have an article written here that by Charles Matina Sr. He wrote this to the Delaware County Daily Times just a couple of months ago or so. And here's what he asked: what has become of the United States of America? Has America become the land of the special interest and home of the double standard? Make your own decision. And he goes through as he writes this letter. If we lie to Congress, it's a felony. If the Congress lies to us, it's just politics. The government spends millions to rehabilitate, I get it right in a minute, criminals, and they do almost nothing for the victim. In public schools, you can teach that homosexuality is okay, but you better not use the word God in the process of education. You can kill an unborn child, but it's wrong to execute a mass murderer. We don't burn books anymore like we used to. We just rewrite them and discard the old ones. We're unable to close our borders with Mexico, but we have no problem protecting the 38th parallel in Korea. You can have pornography on TV or the internet, but you better not put a nativity scene in a public park during Christmas. We can use human fetuses for medical research, but it's wrong to use an animal for drug research to cure a disease. We can take money from those who work hard for it and give it to those who won't work at all. We can ask law-abiding citizens to present a valid ID when cashing a check or making a credit card purchase, but you can't ask a suspicious illegal alien to produce a valid ID to verify their status or to identify themselves in our country. Actor Wesley Snipes goes to jail for tax evasion, while Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel, who was indicted 20 times for fraud and evasion, gets a mild sentence and no jail time for Congress at all. What has happened to the land of this, the free and the home of the brave? And he says the answer is America has become a welfare state based on divine behavior and questionable morals and situation ethics. Ladies and gentlemen, how do we get to this particular place? Because man is looking at the secular through eyes of flesh that knows not what it is to live with each other unless they themselves are on top and get the most. And they leave God out. Not in name, but in practice, in reality. In our nation, we know that as it came to be brought under the Constitution, which has so many have said that God seemed to have a hand and did have a hand in writing, it was through Jesus Christ that they knew, if they knew anything at all, that you had a right relationship with the God of this universe. So the forefathers of America brought Christianity to this country. And I want to say something very forcefully. Without Christianity, there is no America as we know it, as it was brought forth. No matter what we say, you remove that from the scene and you're going to have more chaos and more trouble than ever before, because you can't come from another country here and set up your own country and be America. You have to look at the things as they are, and as our Constitution gives us the freedom to do. You can come here and worship your God any way you want to, give you that freedom. But this is America, it's not another country. The forefathers brought Christianity here. Without Christianity, there is no America as we know it today, which we've seen in the past. In God we trust is the spirit and of our country. Without Jesus Christ, there is no Christianity. You notice I said without Christianity, there's no America as we saw the past. Without Jesus Christ, there is no Christianity. And without Jesus Christ, there is no approach to the God of this universe in our particular day. You cannot approach Him correctly without Jesus Christ. Now, that's a no-no in our country today, but that's the truth of God's Word. Now, how in the world is this mess going to be cleared up if those who are the voice of God, speaking from the Word of God, and that's His the voice. By the way, my voice don't mean nothing unless this Word is proclaimed and read. Then how is it going to happen that this thing is settled? The voice Himself is going to have to come back. The Word Himself is going to have to come back. And He is coming back, I assure you, this morning. Without God, there could be no America. Now, God helped us build this country. And I believe there's a reason for that. America was God's plan and God's country, just as much so as Israel was, except He didn't call out one person to establish the nation. You look at this nation, folks, and look at all the other nations that exist through the years. Rome was good, but Rome only had, if you were a Roman, you had to be a certain type of a citizen, and you, no matter where you at, went in the Roman world, you were a Roman citizen. You had all kinds of freedoms to do, but if you were not a Roman citizen, then you weren't taken in like into the country at that time, into the center theme of what Rome was doing at that time, unless there's certain things that you would do to establish, get your citizenship. And most of the time, you had to be kind of in line with what they were thinking to do that, especially to get into higher places of the government. And so here, though, you find a person can come here, the grassroots in our country, and from there, they'll look at the system, play the system, and be in the highest ranking place in this country because of the vote. And when you get people in high places that makes laws that's anti-God, God's people will suffer from it. More so than it would be if you had a king who also tried their best to make us suffer for what we stand for in this life. God's will on earth is to build His kingdom here. I believe that. And He's showing us a pre-run of what's happened with the church that has this national different types of people that are coming together, born again, brothers and sisters in Christ. And He shows us in the book of Revelation that these born again people, in those even the tribulation period come out, are from every nation, kinder, people, and tongue. That is, they're getting to be saved and come together, though no matter where they're at on the little planet earth, they're collected together, part of the family of God. They may not be in the church in the tribulation period, but they're in that last who believe the kingdom of the king, the message of the kingdom is coming. But anybody, wherever you may go, that's the reason why you can find, if you run into a born-again Christian, any place on this, the face of this earth, I don't care where it's at, there will be a union there with you that you, the, if you're afraid, you all of a sudden see fear gone, because if a person is really truly born again, they will understand your message. They'll understand you better so than not being born again. I'm not talking about people who play the system. There's a lot of people playing the system religious. They're not born again. They're just playing the system. But a truly born again child of God understands his family and understands who we are and what God has called us to do together in this particular life. As I go through and I realize in Matthew 6, 9 through 10, we looked at the kingdom of God is His world under Him. One family under God. God is the Father. We are the children through Jesus Christ. the father and children should be living together in Christ and will one day be living together in Christ. The only thing about it, in the glorified body that we get on the other side, once it's all settled, it'll be fashioned like in the body of Jesus Christ. And then all of these different varieties of people who come in and leave through the rapture of the dead or through the exodus of death one day will be in that glorified body fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ in that particular day. The father and children should be living together. And America seems to be, in this last day, if there's ever been a place where the church has really moved forward and increases in this country. If there's ever been a place where God could send missionaries to the foreign field, it's in the churches of this wonderful nation that you and I live in today. God's kingdom is ruled by the King, Jesus Christ himself. No doubt, though, this is the reason why America is a multiracial nation. Could God, and I put this before you, could be that God himself is showing us if people come here that, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, if people came here and got born again, became children of God, it doesn't matter what nation they come from, we'd all work towards the same goal, to please our Heavenly Father. Isn't that right? Sure we would. Sure we would. We'd do our best to follow his will. We'd listen to those that God gave and rose up in the ranks that knew this book, and we'd find ourselves working together for the cause of Christ, for God's purpose is the only thing that matters anyhow. But we don't have that today. We got a lot of religions. Everybody's going their different ways because everybody has their own idea and purpose about what life should be. And when you can't do much about it to a lot of people until you get in places where you are authority leading those people, and we put them there in our country by the vote. You see, God brought the Puritans from Europe, which was the white race, to America years ago. The Indians were already here for centuries. The yellow race came from Asia. Now, we may disagree on the way in the countries down through the years, or people down through the years. They may disagree on the way the black race came to this country years ago, but we'd have to agree today that it was God's will for them to come here to live together with other races because they're here. And so it's all these other races coming in now. I don't understand that, but I know this. What better place? Isn't it amazing, this little place on the earth called America, everybody wants to come here? Isn't it amazing with all the problems we have, and they come here and show us all the problems we have, and yet they want to still live here, rather than somewhere else. God's hand's on this country, ladies and gentlemen, but he can remove it as fast, faster than he kept his hand on us through the years. Because we're leaving God. This nation is leaving God in the sight of all this religious mess that's going on today, where people are having it across this country. All races must come back and live together with the Father in Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7, I just read to you, when I say that, when these people that have been born again, is this thing going, Brother Terry, where you at, Terry? Is this thing going and coming? Okay, I keep hearing myself and I don't hear myself, so maybe I'm going deaf. Maybe that's what it is. But anyhow, when we come to this today, could this be the reason that America is here? That God would show us that even though we're a republic, having tried to work through a democracy, people can come here, and when he's in control of all races, he can have a place that would be a site that God would be pleased with. But when we come here and then suddenly disrupt that which our Constitution was built upon and which this nation was founded upon, disrupt that, we'd have a nation equal to other nations. And by the way, you can mark it down. This nation is headed for some real trouble. You say, we've been in trouble. We ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to tell you that, folks. Only God can change this, and he's got to be the real God. He can't be the figure of someone's imagination that they're actually worshiping, you see. So to make America a model of the coming ideal world, that what our Heavenly Father had in mind someday in the future, when I say that, now don't misunderstand me, I'm just saying it seems like now where we sent people to the foreign field and still sending missionaries to the foreign field to reach people, we are sending missionaries right now into certain sections where there are the same people in the foreign field. You can go just about anywhere, just about any society in this world, you can find it somewhere or another in America. They speak the language, and isn't it amazing? And we're having now, God is leading people. You wonder why these people are going to the foreign field, going to states and going to different places? Because there's people in there that's just like on the foreign field. And we're trying to reach them for the cause of Christ. And I couldn't. By the way, if we don't win them to Christ, we don't have no hope. Because they have no understanding how America was formed. They have no understanding. They don't know anything about our our constitution. They come from another land. So they come here trying to fit in. And the only way that they can really fit in to understand, they bring a lot of stuff with them, is to be born into the family of God and be taught this book and under the surrender to God, let Him lead them in that thing which is right. Nearly every race on this planet lives somewhere in America. We find this in all, you find this in any other nation on earth like America. You can't find that. Nowhere else can you find it. Two quick points and I'm through. Is it possible that we're a type of a union that's taking place as God's people come together? Is that reason why Satan is fighting our country so much to sidetrack us so that we look to the sensual and the soulless rather than the spiritual? Could it be that somehow or another God's people are with Him in name, but they don't want Him to tell them what to do for His kingdom? After years of separation as one race of people from Genesis chapter 11 back 4,258 years plus ago, God is bringing people together in His church of all nationalities. We are born into the family of God. That breaks down any ties to the earth, because when you're born into a family, you're a brother and sister of that family. I understand I'm born into the in His family. Therefore, thank God you're my friend, but you're not my brother or sister in the in His family. I got a few sitting in here. Whatever family you're in physically, those in your family that are from your mother and dad are brothers and sisters. Everybody else is just friends or enemies or whatever they are. Well, God says there's a thing called the new birth in this world. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't care if a little kid trusts His Christ as Savior or 90-year-old man trusts His God as Christ as Savior. I don't care if he's in China or Africa. I don't care if he's in France. I don't care if he's in Macedonia. I don't care where he's at. If he trusts His Christ as Savior, they become a child of God. I don't care where she's at, become a child of God. This is Bible. Now, the different races should have embraced each other in tears of joy in the family of God, but we've been misled. Unfortunately, what we are feeling is due to sin. It is true that our forefathers brought Christianity to America, but it seems that through the years they could not bring and sustain the love of Jesus Christ in the hearts of people due to sin. I'm surprised, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you are, if you're trying to do anything for the Lord at all, I'm surprised, and you will be too, at people who say they're saved and you can't tell the difference in being what they say, save, ungodly. They look like they're ungodly. They act like they're ungodly. And I'll tell you another thing, if they get a chance to get above you, they'll put you down to get where they need to get. That's not Christianity. Jesus said, when you go in somewhere or another, I might paraphrase a little bit, don't take the top seat. Take the last seat. And then if someone by chance asks you to come up, then you have a chance to. It's showing humility rather than pride. This creates a lot of suffering and difficulty in this country in spite of the sacrifices that many have made in the past. There have been people in the past, and I look back and read the history in the early part of our country, they have given their lives almost look like as a shame because of what's happened today. And I'm sorry if you don't understand that, but that's what I believe. I believe there's people who gave their lives many, many years ago for this country, maybe even all the way back to when we fought for independence. If they could see what has happened today, I don't care what this world says, I believe they'd be ashamed that they gave their life for something that would treat it like men are doing it today and people are doing it today. Such suffering can surely be seen today by families' breakdowns. You can see this by immorality everywhere. Empty seats in churches that preach the gospel, and they're filled up in places where they're entertained. Our nation is bringing together people, I believe, of likes who are born again, but it's on a small scale in this republic. It amazes me that probably after this nation established and we became any power at all, how God used this nation to try to reach the world for His namesake. Called people, and He's still calling those who will go for Him. The second thing I want you to notice, we'll be quick and I'll close, God is still the creator, and man is the creation of God. You wouldn't think that the way people talk about him, but he is. When Adam fell, he left God completely. God came seeking for him, and he ran to hide even before that. Now, when Adam lost God, he lost himself. When Adam lost God, he lost his value. He lost his identity. Man lost his relationship with God. He became alienated and indifferent towards one another. And to do so, they ended up having what Paul talked about in Hebrews chapter 2. If you turn there and want to later, I'll read it quickly. Here's what Paul saw those people at Ephesus who were no doubt Gentiles. And he said in verse 11, wherefore remember. And that's what we're trying to do. Every time we talk about Constitution, we're remembering our Constitution. Well, Paul says here to this church, remember that ye been in times past Gentile. Hey, he was talking about you and I. If you are not a Jew in this building today, or listen to my voice, he's talking about us, as much so as Ephesus. And he said, remember that ye been in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision. So the circumcision is the Jewish people, or the Israelites, as we know as Jews today. The uncircumcision are those Gentiles who don't have a relationship with God. And he said, by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. Now watch this next verse. That at that time ye were without Christ. Isn't it interesting that when they were without God, they were without Christ? Because in the Old Testament, it was to the nation of Israel God dealt with, not general people, unless they came into that particular nation and obeyed by the sacrificial system. But he said, but at that time you were without Gentiles, or without Christ. By the way, the Jews in the Old Testament were without Christ too. They didn't know who he was. They were looking for him to come. But without Christ, since the Gentiles only came now, offered up unto Gentiles the message from God, now he's setting forth that being alien from the commonwealth of Israel in the Old Testament, and strangers from the covenants in the plural of promise, he says that you did not only have a relationship like Israel did, but you didn't have the covenants either. It was to Israel. He said, and therefore having no hope and without God in this world, what a bad place to be. Uncircumcised, spiritually speaking, without God, without hope, without Christ, no hope whatsoever. But I like verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a difference he makes. In this world, talking about it don't mean anything. Don't tell me it don't mean something. In Christ Jesus, he said. Watch, where we were at before, remember that, times past. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes before off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then he said, next verse, for he is our peace who has made both one. Broken down the wall of partition and so forth. Without Jesus Christ, there is no such a thing as Christianity. And without him, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot have what we need to have in this country before God. The more alone and alienated man became, the more self-centered and selfish he became. And this leads to struggling and suffering and bloodshed. America is the leading nation of this world. And whether you realize it or not, today it's still the leading nation of this world. If we were a mind to and didn't have compassion on people, we could wipe out just about every country in this world with the arsenal we got. But thank God, God gave us power, but he gave us some people to have compassion. We're the only country that ever lived that would fight you. If you fight us, we'll go in and destroy you and come back and help you build it back again. No other country would do that. I'm talking about America. God's hand's still on this country, but he's removing it gradually as we see these things happen, as he's trying to get our attention. America's history is the history of salvation, leading towards God and his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven since the late 1500s. Therefore, America must come back to God from the grassroots to the White House. Our president, the Congress, the Senate, the House, all governors need God. America needs God. And whether they realize it or not, America needs God's godly men. He needs the godly preachers that stands and preach this book that God gives special revelation to. And only here will America be the true leading nation of this world and in God's hands like it should be. America needs the man of God. History must be led by God's men or God's people who are led by God. And here America would be the real model of God's world, I believe, until Jesus comes as he works toward the end of the age. He had to have somewhere or another that he'd have that front to get the gospel out in the world. That's the reason I believe his hands on this. Ladies and gentlemen, still, when you look across this world today, you'll find there's no other nation as missionary-minded as America is. Did you know that? We don't do as much as we should and much as we used to because we, as a nation, has left God. But this nation in the last days was built for the purpose, not only being blessed financially, but to reach this world for Christ as we send people around the world, and even now with the technology we have, the things that we can do. Just like Israel could have been in the Old Testament, here America can be the real thing in the New Testament as God uses them to reach this world, those who are in there. I'm talking about Christians who have the freedom to serve God in this country. Israel and America also, we find that sin has distorted both, as it did in Israel. It's distorted here in America. And, of course, you find in it's distorting. You know why, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me, please hear me, please, God help me. You know why that we find that it's been distorted in this country? Not only from as far as Israel is concerned, as far as America is concerned, but also because of the way the Christian walk is. We've not got the burden. We're more centered on what we're doing rather than what God wants us to do. Amen, preacher. You notice I said we? Yes, we are. In America, everybody has a chance if you try. I believe that. I believe we have a chance if we try. It may be harder for some than others, but we still have a chance because of what this country is. Christianity is the revelation of God through the Scriptures in Jesus Christ. And I say, when I got through this message earlier this morning, I wrote, what a country we have in America. And I pray, folks, I pray that God will bless her as we yield to him in our day. Because he won't unless God's people yield. He's not asking the world. He understands the world don't know how to yield to him. But he's asking his people to yield to him and let him motivate them and give them the blessings and all that's needed for his kingdom, promote that kingdom, to be that voice. Are you a voice? Are you a voice? My wife went Thursday night visitation this week, and we had a great, great visitation. It just seemed like the Lord gave us, we looked some places and couldn't find them. We couldn't even find and found those, and everything worked in line. We had a great visit this past week, and I'll tell you about one of them, which I want to tell this morning later. But it just amazes me that sometimes you go and you get disheartened, discouraged, and all of a sudden you make a decision to go a certain time when you could have went somewhere else, and you made a decision to go. And when I did, God just opened everything up. It just amazes me. God still looks at the grassroots of his people being those who visit, who witness for him. And that's how he does it here in this country. May God bless us as we yield to him in our particular day. Would you stand to your feet, please? As we pray. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg of you, heed the voice, listen to what he's saying, and understand, I don't care what you've done, where you've come from, I don't care who you are. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever in that world would believe on him, that he'd give him eternal life. I believe that, folks. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior, it's so easy to become a child of God, and we make it so hard. I'm glad in America right now, I don't know how much longer I can do this, but I can preach a message about Jesus Christ and offer him as God the Holy Spirit offers him to hearts that may not be saved. Either on the radio in a few minutes to hear this message or an upstream that just heard it. A Ustream that just heard it. We need to pray for our country, but we need to also realize If God's going to do anything in the grassroots of our country, He'll start with us. He starts inside of us to work out. With the world, He has to start outside and bring it. Everything that happens against the world's attention most of the time happens from the outside in, trying to get their attention to listen and realize how short life can be. But He starts within us. And from the time He starts in our heart to get to our head, Satan's found a way to belittle it and make it not important enough that we're willing to try to do anything when we leave these premises. My Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the day. I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that we preach here this morning. And I thank You so much, Lord, for the Spirit of God. Lord, we live in a great nation. And I believe it all my heart when people get up and mock You as far as who God is, mock His Son, You'll tolerate a lot of things. We know that. We look through the last 6,000 years and we've seen that. But I also believe that God has revealed Himself in this book. I don't have all the answers. There's a lot of things I just don't know. But those things I do know motivates me to do what I know I need to do. And dear Father, I thank You for the great purpose of God to reach this world for Christ through His church. I thank You that anywhere we go, and we're part of the family of God, we're in like ground. The only thing difference is maybe a few doctrinal things that are different depending on where we come from. But when it comes to who we are as children of God, that means a lot to us. Help us understand who the family is and what the family needs to be doing in the church, which is the body of Christ. Help some souls to see how to become a member of that body by being born into the family of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, "You must be born again." For it's in His name we pray and we give Him glory, because it's only through Him we have access to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.